From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carol Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, everybody. Listen, a little while ago, we presented a collection of our favorite female Not My Job guests, a group of powerful, funny women we called the Divas. Well, we got a lot of letters from male listeners, and they were expressing, as men are wont to do, their deepest feelings. They said they were hurt. They said they were confused and sad. They wondered when would we feature men on our show, manly men, men of power and strength who were yet sensitive. Be at peace, my brothers in the drum circle. Today is that day. On this week's show, it's raining men, some of our most macho moments. We start with a guy who may seem an odd choice for this testosterone fest because he's French. However, he makes up for it by constantly mooning death. Daredevil Philippe Petit joined Carl and me along with panelists Charlie Pierce, Adam Felber, and Kiri O'Connor in February of 2009. The story, as you tell in your book and film, is just astonishing. And one of the things you say is that as soon as you saw a picture of the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center, you conceived of the desire to walk between them.
Yes.
And you told people this, but nobody really either, nobody believed you enough to try to stop you.
Yeah, that's a good part about telling about secrets.
Yeah. Well, actually, one of my favorite moments in the book is when you arrive at the JFK airport with all your equipment, your balancing pole and your gears, and they asked you what you were doing with all of it.
Yeah, and I just for fun, I said to the custom agent, I am just a wire walker, and all this equipment is to put a wire illegally between the Twin Towers. So the guy came out of a big laugh and, you know, wish me luck and yell, next!
I'm going to try that next time.
So imagine the face of that custom officer when he saw, the big picture in the New York Times.
In the book and in the film, it tells the extraordinary story about how you and your Confederates managed to case out the towers and get up there with all the equipment and get the wire across. But the thing that just other kinds of person can get our head around, can get my head around, is the moment where you're up there, it's dawn on that day, the wire is set, and you take your first step off the ledge onto that wire, 1,300 feet off the ground. What did that feel like? Were you scared? Were you happy?
I was not scared, but it was very scary. And I was very happy, but not a normal Earth happiness, more of a celestial happiness. I think elation would be the right word.
Right. So blinding terror would not be the right word.
No, I had no reason to be fearful. Fearful of what?
Oh.
No, hold on.
I don't know.
Let me stop.
Maybe you didn't sterilize the wire.
You could
get an infection. You could catch your death up there.
It's cold.
Yeah. I have to say, watching your movie, I had two very strong thoughts, which is that, my gosh, that's the coolest thing. Isn't it amazing that he would do that? And I was thinking, I would never want to do that in a million years.
I have the same feeling. When I watched the film in all those film festivals, I said, this guy is incredible. And then I realized, oh, this guy is me.
Wow. And were you happy about that?
Or
were you
like, to be me, I am always happy to be me.
Apparently right. The case. Now, before that coup, as you call it, you had walked across the towers of Notre Dame. You had walked across the Sydney Harbour Bridge. Since then, you've done many others. We're told that you have one big goal. You want to cross the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, but you know, this goal is like almost past now. I mean, the project is still alive, but it's not alive as much as another project, for example, that eating me right now, which is to put my wire on Easter Island.
Yeah.
And attach maybe the cable or the rope around the belly of the Moai,
the great head-shaped statues, yeah.
Yes, and have the Rapa Nui people who inhabit the island be part of the performance with their celebration and dance and songs and music. So that would be a very beautiful show to present to the world. Of course, what I need is a guardian angel who will of the art who will sign the right check.
Yes.
But I'm not the only artist who is waiting for that.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
Wow. In the book and in the movie, it's clear that you are driven by these extraordinary passions. You would have to be to pull these things off, to put up with the risks, obviously. Do you ever find yourself, when you're exhausted, when you're worn out, when you've come to the end of some rope and you're beating your head against a wall, and I, of course, in your case, I guess, I mean, coming to the end of a rope metaphorically, do you ever find you wishing that you were normal, that you didn't have these passions, that you could just be happy watching TV?
No, I never wish I was normal. I'm very, very happy to be not normal. But at the same time, I'm of course, very normal, but I am entangled in too many passions, as you explained, and it's I don't know how to use the miserable hours that we have in a day. Am I going to write my next book? Am I going to plan my next highway walk? I am very frustrated that I am forced to sleep a few hours and stop here and there to eat and drink. What a waste of time.
Yeah.
I know you feel, because, like, I get home and there are so many different things on the TiVo.
And well, you know what?
And there's so few hours in the day.
Well, I don't have a television set.
That's the secret. That's the secret, ladies and gentlemen. One last question before we get to the game. We know you're not afraid of heights. What are you afraid of?
Well, animals with too many feet or not enough feet.
Really?
Yeah.
You can translate that into big spiders and nice venomous snakes.
All right. So you're out 1,000 feet above the ground on a wire. There's a spider.
Oh, then it's nothing. I pull out my little booklet, my how-to, and it has a chapter on spiders and what to do.
Right.
I would hit him with a booklet, personally.
Exactly.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. If it's too sunny and you cannot read the thin type, use the booklet.
Exactly. Well, Philippe Petit, we are honored to talk to you today, but we have asked you here to play a game we're calling
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
So speaking of fears, you've proved, as we've said, that you're pretty much fearless. So we thought we'd ask you three questions about famous people and their unreasonable fears. Get two questions right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice on their home answering machine, calming them down. Carl, who is Philippe Petit playing for?
Peter, he is playing for Elena Fiore of Burke, Virginia.
All right. Ready to play?
Mm-hmm.
First question. Hans Christian Andersen, the great Danish writer of children's stories, was so beset by an unusual phobia that he took special precautionary measures. Was it A, he was so terrified of mermaids that he insisted that all women who came to meet him wear trousers? B, he was so frightened of being buried alive that he posted a sign by his bed stating that he only looked dead and should not be buried? C, he was so scared of accidentally eating another person that he insisted that he be introduced to all of his meat while it was still alive.
Well, the middle one, I would say.
You're in the middle one, that he was scared of being buried alive, so he had a sign put up, I'm not dead, I just look that way.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, sir. Very good.
Of course.
He was terrified of being buried alive. It was a very common fear.
Interestingly, that's the same sign that Dick Cheney used to have on his desk in the White House.
But I'm not terrified to give the right answer.
No, clearly. You're just
that's
right.
Why I did.
I know. That's very good. Let's see you do the next question.
It is very good.
It is. Yes. Oh, you are a proud man. All right, it is. That's great. Let's see how you do with this one. Sometimes the people who seem to be specialists in fear have the oddest phobias. For example, A, Sir Edmund Hillary, the first man to climb Everest, was terrified of cats. B, Alfred Hitchcock, master of the suspense film, was frightened of eggs. Or C, Lucky Luciano, famous crime boss, mafioso, spent his life in fear of ants.
The ants.
Lucky Luciano was scared of ants?
Mm-hmm.
No, it was Hitchcock was afraid of eggs.
Ah.
Isn't that odd?
What did he think they were going to do to him?
No, he just thought they were really disgusting. He said, quote, have you ever seen anything more revolting than an egg yolk breaking and spilling its yellow liquid?
Suzanne Plachette getting her eyes plucked out by seagulls.
But
I would think he was afraid of eggs because in every egg there is a bird there lurking.
That's true.
Very good.
Well, this is very exciting. It's not as exciting as what you're used to, but it's exciting for us. So, because if you get this last question right, you win. Here we go. Sigmund Freud, the explorer of the unconscious mind, had his own unreasonable fear. Was he frightened of A, the color red, B, pickles, or C, ferns?
I don't know why that's funny.
It looks so far-fetched, the other two. I would say the color red.
You say the color red, that Freud was afraid of the color red?
Yeah.
No, he was actually afraid of ferns.
Oh, that was my first thought.
Yeah, well, you see, you should have trusted your instincts. Ferns, to which we say, Sigmund Freud, sometimes a houseplant is just a houseplant.
No, but you know what? You should review the rules of the game, and if a guest says that it was his first thought, then you should go for it.
Really? You feel...
Because actually I won.
It you actually won. Thought. You feel... I'm beginning to get a sense of how you pulled all these things off now. Yeah. No, I'm afraid... I don't think we had a safety net, as I know you prefer. Hold on. We have an authority here. Carl, what do you think? He feels he deserves a point here. What do you
think? I don't feel.
He knows.
Man!
Well, unfortunately, he gave you the wrong answer at the end, so...
Oh, no.
You guys are so cold.
Okay. You wait, Peter. Some morning you're going to wake up in the middle of the night and he's going to be on a wire outside your bedroom knocking.
Back in the door.
Yeah, a red wire with a spider on it. Yeah. And lots of ferns.
Philippe Petit is a higher wire artist and the author of the book Man on Wire, which was made into a documentary. Philippe Petit, thank you so much for joining us today. What a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm up on tight wire. One side's ice and one is fire. It's a circus.